You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Over a series of decades, workers produced more than 1 billion pounds of ammunition in various forms at a massive plant 30 miles northwest of Madison. The Badger Army Ammunition Plant, locals simply call it Badger, took shape during World War II and displaced 80 farm families. The operation remained online well into the 1990s. Now its 7,000-plus acres are being cleaned up and parceled off, one chunk for the USDA Dairy Forage Research, another for the Ho-Chunk Nation. Wisconsin's DNR holds the largest portion that butts up to the Devil's Lake State Park and the Wisconsin River. Earlier this week, area residents filled a nearby art center to hear what the state agency has in mind for the Sauk Prairie Recreation Area. One proposal incorporates a shooting range and ATV trails that proponents say will encourage more users onto the property. But the crowd expressed concerns about how these special uses might blend with other forms of recreation, as well as with education and research. In the meantime, scientists have quietly been at work to learn what remains of the flora and fauna that made Badger what it once was, a mosaic of tall grass prairie and savannah. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bent spoke to a Milwaukee-based biologist who made an unlikely discovery there in a man-made habitat.
The year was 1993. At the time, Gary Casper headed herpetology at the Milwaukee Public Museum. He, along with other biologists, were tapped to inventory creatures living in the Baraboo Hills area. That's the region shared by the Badger Army Ammunition Plant. Casper says their surveys yielded good stuff. His finds included
some interesting reptiles, bull snakes, black rat snakes, timber rattlesnakes. There were four-toed salamanders along the slope. And these are all relatively rare species that are in decline. Other teams were studying birds, and I know they found a number of rare bird species that were also breeding on site.
Casper remembers stepping onto the not-yet-decommissioned ammo plant as a tad unnerving.
So they had a lot of explosive stuff around, and in order to be safe, they had these huge water reservoirs built into the side of the bluff. So think of a giant concrete swimming pool, think about 20 feet deep. And one of these reservoirs was treated water, you know, chlorinated, and the other was raw water.
Resident maintenance workers suggested Casper take a look at the latter.
Because there's salamanders in there. And I'm like, oh, really? And so I looked, and sure enough, I could see some. And this was in the early spring.
Casper was certain they were tiger salamanders, surfacing, grabbing a gulp of air, and diving back into the deep pool. He's seen his share of the creature, starting during his boyhood. They used to turn up in his window well in east central Minnesota.
They're kind of brown, brownish-black body color with yellow spots all over.
And can live up to 15 years, Casper says. Back to the reservoir. Casper wasn't able to catch any of the critters.
So I went home and started calling my contacts and found some scuba divers that were willing to go in there and collect them for me. So they had to dress up in their dry suits, you know, because the water is like 40 degrees.
The divers surfaced with a catch of salamander larvae.
So we put them in a bucket, and I'm like, yep, these are typical tiger salamanders.
Typical adult tiger salamanders live on land. They are nighttime foragers and burrow in grassy and wooded spots. When springtime comes, they head for water to breed and lay their eggs, later emerging to live in their dry habitat. Casper lugged the bucket of larvae back to his Milwaukee lab for closer inspection.
And by the time I got him into the lab and started looking at it again, I realized some of them had started laying eggs in the buckets. And I'm like, what in the world? What are larvae doing laying eggs? That's not normal.
Casper discovered the water-bound salamanders were frozen mid-development, but with full reproductive capacities. The phenomenon is called neoteny.
So we refer to these as neotenic. So they retain their gills like the larvae have, and they look like larvae, but reproductively they mature and are able to breed.
This is scientifically a big deal. While neoteny has been chronicled occasionally among tiger salamanders west of the Mississippi,
this had never been documented before east of the Mississippi River.
Casper and other scientists returned to Badger to inspect the habitat more closely.
We went back and looked at the reservoir and decided that any salamanders in the surrounding forest could easily fall in here. And once they fall in, they can't get out because there's a vertical concrete lip around it. So they're trapped in here.
And yet at any given time, scientists estimate they number over 1,000 and grow as long as a foot. What are they feeding on?
Other animals that fall in or are blown in. and each other. There's a lot of cannibalism going on. But they've evolved into this self-sustaining system.
Scientists have more questions than answers. For instance, when and how did the first generation take hold? Did they fall in or gravitate to the reservoir when spawning season called?
A unique thing that hasn't been found anywhere before. I mean, yes, other populations further west, and even some we suspect now elsewhere in Wisconsin in natural ponds, occasionally are neotenic. But we've never seen anything like this where it's a permanent situation for the entire population.
No matter how the badger landscape evolves, with or without a shooting range or ATVs, it's unlikely the reservoir will survive. Casper says he's not the only scientist who thinks it should be preserved.
Many of us have made recommendations to the DNR to preserve the system.
Salamanders date back to the days of the dinosaur and have managed to survive. Casper says there are lessons to be learned in their story. This weekend, scientists from 7 Midwest states are gathering at the Forest Beach Migratory Preserve in Port Washington to discuss the conservation of native amphibians and reptiles, the unique case of human-induced evolution in tiger salamanders at Badger is among the topics the scientists will discuss. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
The public can submit ideas on what the Sauk Prairie Recreation Area should look like to the DNR. The deadline is August 30th. And if you'd like to see the salamanders, there is a video of them at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one more break and then catch up with the master of song parodies who's shifting gears a bit in his career. Weird Al Yankovic, children's book author? Well, we'll learn more when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.